We just love having the kids with us on the service before Christmas, and isn't it great the way they helped us understand a little more about Christmas? Well, as I was thinking about, because Tracy had this great idea about what, and by the way, I just appreciate all the cameras you came to take pictures of me this morning. I think it's great. You wanted my picture. I don't understand why, but, well, let's pray. Before we start into this, Father in heaven, we praise you. It's just so much fun, God. And as we were praying this morning, Father, for those that were going to be a part of the service, we were just remembering that you are, by definition and character and heart, a father who loves children. And Lord, there's even in the laughter and even in the play and the silliness, there is a truth. And there is a holiness. And you are a father who wants his children to laugh. And there's times when you hold us in your arms because we cry. But in all of it, you remain constant in your love for us. And we pray now that you help us understand this mustard seed story because it's somehow connected with Christmas, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been going through a garden series, and I just want to quickly tie some of this into what's happening this morning. And so Jesus tells this parable about a mustard seed, and what's interesting in it is that it is the smallest of garden seeds, but it grows into the largest of trees. And Jesus tells parables like this as riddles. There's like a mystery, a secret to be solved in these parables. And if we can understand it, there's something really beautiful that can come into our lives. And in this parable, there's a promise. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, and in this little seed, there's great power to become something wondrous. And as I was looking at this parable, because I was thinking, well, you know, Jesus could have used a different kind of seed, you know, and come up with a tree, you know, like a huge oak tree or something. But as you read this, what leapt out at me is it's a riddle anchored in a garden. He picked a garden plant. He picked a seed to be planted in a garden to talk about the kingdom of God. And as I thought about that, another seed came to my mind, and it was in the first garden of the Bible. And in Genesis chapter 2, we see the first seed that was a promise. The seed was the promise of Christmas. And you know the story in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. And it's the story of Adam and Eve. And God made a beautiful garden, and he put Adam and Eve in this garden, right? But if you know what happened after that, a serpent, a snake, came into the garden. And what sound do snakes make? Yeah, and it's like, boo, we know who it is. It's Satan coming into the Garden of Eden. And what does he do? He causes Adam and Eve to doubt God, doesn't he? And so instead of trusting that everything that God had for Adam and Eve was good, they ate the apple. And here's what God said. He comes and he speaks to that snake, that serpent. What sound do they make? Ooh, yeah. And he says to the snake, I will put enmity. In other words, I will make you enemies between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. That word offspring literally means seed. In the Hebrew, it's the word seed. And so he's saying, I'm going to plant a seed someday. And there's going to be a great battle between Satan and this man that I will send to the world to save it. See what's happening? So Christmas is the beginning and fulfillment of a promise. And so let me tell you about the planting of that seed. And we find it in Luke chapter 1. Gabriel, this angel, comes to a young girl called Mary. And Mary was just a young, like one of the girls in our youth group. And she is promised to Joseph to be married. And the angel comes to her and says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." You see, Jesus, God was saying that there was a divine seed by the power of the Holy Spirit that would be planted in the womb of Mary, that would become the Savior for the world to do battle against an evil serpent. What sound does a serpent make? Right. And what I love about the story is Mary's response. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child would be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Do you know what this young girl, with just a seed of faith, like a mustard seed, says? She says, "Let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. All it took was a little faith the size of a mustard seed to believe that God could do something amazing. So, the Christmas story is the beginning of the fulfillment of a promise. And Jesus came to us as the one who would crush the head of Satan. But Satan would bruise his heel. Jesus died on a cross to bring us forgiveness. The Christmas story is the beginning, not the end of the promise. And Jesus came and he destroyed the power of Satan. But you know what's really neat about the story is that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Do you know why? Why could he not just have died and give us forgiveness? It's because the Christmas story is meant to repeat itself in you and in me. The Christmas story is meant to be repeated. What do I mean by that? Well, if you turn your Bibles back to Mark, it says, Jesus says, "What will I compare the kingdom of God to?" In other words, it's a parable of comparison. And it's like, well, what is the kingdom of God, Pastor? What is that about? You know, I've never quite understood the kingdom of God. Well, the cool thing is you look at the life of Jesus and you can see what the kingdom of God is like. Read one of the gospel stories. You want to understand the kingdom of God? You look to Jesus' life. What did Jesus do when he came on earth? What kind of things did he do? Go ahead and shout them out. It's a casual service this morning. What did Jesus do when he was on earth? Healed people. What else did he do? Told stories. He was nice. He did miracles. He walked on water. He healed lepers. He turned water into wine. He liked a good party. He loved Christmas because he was Christmas. Jesus, the kingdom of God is not just the power of the kingdom. We think of the miracles and you think of kingdom and you think of authority. And he demonstrated that he had more authority than any man on earth or even any demon from hell, because he sent the demons out of people to hell. His kingdom is powerful. It means authority, but it's also like one of the kids this morning talked about, what kind of present can you give? I think it was Corbin that said, love. The kingdom of God is all the Father's heart in heaven, all his love for you, all his compassion, all his desire to be present in your life and mine. Kingdom of God sound pretty good? Yeah? It's filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control and faithfulness. It's like, that's the kingdom of God. along with the power and the authority and the miracles and the kindness. How do we get that seed, that mustard seed, inside our hearts? You see, when Jesus came, he brought the kingdom of God with him. And you ever notice sometimes he said to some that started to get it, started to solve the riddle, the puzzle, he said, you are near the kingdom of God. But there's a difference between my being near it and my having it, right? Before Jesus started telling these riddles called parables, he said to all the people, not just the 12 disciples, he said to all those around him that chose to follow him, he said, to you in verse 10, to you, verse 11, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those on the outside, they did not have the secret. What was the secret? It's the Sunday school answer. Yell it out. Jesus. Every kid knows the answer to everything is Jesus. But it's true for us too. You see, Jesus is saying, I'm the secret to unlocking the power of the kingdom of God. You see, you can choose. He says it's a parable of contrast. He is saying there is something so little insignificant, it surprises you. A mustard seed, that's it? And he's saying it is so little, but if you receive it, something so amazing and huge and great can happen, not just in this world. Look at one man, Jesus, one man transformed this world forever. The world has never been the same because of the coming and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is true for you and me. We could never be the same once we allow Jesus to come into our hearts. And you say, well, man, there's things. Think about in your life what you would like to see transformed. What you would say is impossible to happen in your life. What is the thing you feel like God wants for you, not just to do, but in who you are? And you go, man, it would take a miracle for that to happen. Yeah, the miracle of a mustard seed. That's what it takes. Christmas is a story meant to repeat itself in us. And when we come to this point where we go, I need something to grow in my life, and I've tried the other options, and compared to Christianity, there's nothing like Christ that the world can offer you. There's nothing. And I think we reach this place where we stop trying in our own power to bring change, to bring growth of our lives and spirits, right? You want to be a different kind of parent. You want to be a better spouse. You want to have favor in the eyes of your employer. You want to be a good employee. You want to be a better friend. You feel these failures in you. What we need is that mustard seed. I could spend the rest of the morning telling you my own story of transformation, unexpected growth. But it took my stop trying to do it on my own, and it took my receiving that mustard seed. God is offering us this Christmas gift. Whether you've never received it or you have that mustard seed and you're wanting it to grow, this Christmas story is for you and me. In John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, this is what it looks like to receive that mustard seed. But to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but listen to this, but of God. The Christmas story, when I say it's meant to be repeated, is, you may say, well, Jesus came because of the Holy Spirit the power of the Holy Spirit upon a virgin girl called Mary, and things were never the same. But that's what this is saying is you and I, because Jesus rose from the grave by the power of God, His Spirit comes in you and I, and we are born as sons and daughters. Sound like Christmas? I want to invite the worship team to come back up. And let me close with this verse. Later in John 14, verse 23, Jesus himself makes this promise. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You see, God wants you to be part of his family. He wants you and I to be sons and daughters of extraordinary transformation. How many of you would want that kind of transformation in your life? How many of you are there's things you want to see God do? Yeah, no, go ahead and put your hands up. That was hypothetical, but look at that. See? It's true. We all want God to do something in our lives if it was only possible. Well, the good news is there's the mustard seed of possibility. And so, close your eyes. We celebrate Christmas. And the children this morning have helped all of us understand the meaning of the Christmas tree and Saint Nick and all that God wants to do in you and me. But Jesus told us a parable to let us know that receiving Him makes all things possible. It starts off small. And just hold in your heart with your eyes closed that thing that you'd say, okay, God, if you're a father in heaven and you say, if I receive that mustard seed of faith in Jesus, I become a son and daughter. As your son or daughter, here's the Christmas gift this year I'd want to happen in my life. I'd want to happen in my heart. I need to change, but I've been told there's no hope for me. Or maybe I've told myself, I can't believe I could be that person. Well, Father in heaven, we pray this morning and say, give us the faith of Mary to say, let it be done according to your word. Just a mustard seed of faith saying, I want a Christmas gift from God. I want a mustard seed of faith so a seed will grow in me and become the greatest in the garden, a place which even others can take shelter and comfort from my life, to be a man or woman that reaches out our arms in worship to a Father who loves us in heaven. We pray, Father, make Christmas happen again in these hearts of ours. Whether we're a child or a grandparent or somewhere in between, we say we want to receive Jesus Christ and His words in our lives and help us grow by the power of your Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen.